In our scripture for today, Jesus opens our eyes to the true nature of love. Again, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." Jesus plainly taught that God, in his love, created human beings. Life does not precede love. Love precedes life. And in this passage, Jesus tells us about three directions for love, which are love toward God, love toward others, and love toward ourselves. You know, our love for God is an upward love. That seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? We think of God as being up, even though God is all around us. God is, we can say, is an upward love. And it must take priority over everything else. God deserves all of our love, not just part of our love. We should love no one or nothing more than we love God. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? It's easy to love someone else that's we can touch, that influence our lives directly, right? But it is hard for us to love more than we even love ourselves. Love more than we love our spouse or our children. More than we love anything. We should love God. We should love God. Scripture tells us that God is love. It is the love of God that gives us life. The love of God is what sought us out and offers us salvation through faith in Christ. And Jesus taught us that if love is to be fully manifested, we must love God first, others second, and ourselves last. I tell you what, sometimes we live this backwards, don't we? We really do. Many times we live this, maybe we all the time, we live it backwards. It's kind of a scary place to be. So if we love God, then our love for others will grow even greater because this upward love supernaturally produces a love for others. That is what perfection that Wesley talks about is all about. When we love God so much that we have this undying love for others. Perfection isn't about being perfect. It is about loving God and loving others. That is exactly what the concept of Wesley, John Wesley's perfection is. So if we love God, then our love for others will grow even greater because this upward love supernaturally produces a love for others and then for ourselves. If we love God the most, we will love others the best. I kind of like that. That's kind of cool, isn't it? If we love God the most, we will love others the best. C.S. Lewis said, "When I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now." Did you catch that? C.S. Lewis, we all know who C.S. Lewis is, right? "When I have learned to love God better than I love my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now." When we love God first, our love for God motivates us to love others. Just think of how much more bearable this life would be if all of us practiced this love. Businesses would benefit greatly if the boss truly loved his or her employees and they knew it. Marriages would be happier if spouses heard and saw constant reminders that they were loved. Kids would be happier if the parents constantly and lovingly affirmed their children as we show love toward others. You see, we are loved. God loves us, and Jesus overcame hate and evil and death through his sacrificial act of ultimate love on the cross. I have two non-original, but you know, any idea in the church is not original, right? It's been done in the past, right? And the best ideas really have, right? Yeah. So in this day and age, there really is no original idea in the church. But I have two simple and extremely powerful principles that can transform any relationship when we're talking about love toward others. When it comes to love, we need to say it. We need to say it. I hope you never get tired of me saying how much I love this church. I say it all the time, and I mean it. I don't say it all the time for you to just take it for granted. I say it all the time because I mean it. We need to hear ourselves say it as well. We need to hear ourselves say it. Also, others need to hear us say it, and we need to hear it from others. So did you hear that? We need to say it. We need to hear ourselves say it. Others need to hear us say it. And we need to hear others say it to us as well. So tell me, what's wrong? Now, some of you can think back. I mean, we recognized around 20 of you this morning. What's wrong with the general telling his troops that he loves them? What's wrong with that? Why doesn't a boss tell his or her employees he loves them? Why shouldn't a coach tell his or her players, I love you? You know, in 1999, Duke University played the University of Connecticut for NCAA men's basketball championship. Some of you may have watched the game. Duke had a chance to win, but in the last 5 seconds, a Duke player lost the ball and with it, the game. What did Mike Krasinski, Duke's coach, say after the loss for the fourth time in a national championship? What did he say about his players? What did he say about the team? Quote, I'm really proud of my team, he said. I really love these guys. I have a hard time being sad. I don't coach for winning. I coach for relationships. Maybe this is one reason why he is considered to be one of the most outstanding coaches and recruiters in America. So we need to say it. We need to hear people say it. People need to hear us say it. I love you. Let's say it all together. I love you. Now I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. I don't care if you're related to him or not, right? They're a brother and sister in Christ, if nothing else, right? I want you to turn to them and I want you to say to them, say to each other, I love you. Now, everybody, I know you were told to say that, but my prayer is that maybe that broke some ice and that you'll make it a habit of telling one another how much you love one another. So let's say it again. Look to the person next to you. You may have to turn twice. And good Lord, you may have to say it twice. Can you imagine that? Let's say it again. I love you. All right, the second relationship transforming principle is when it comes to love, show it. Show love. Love must not only be articulated, but it also must be demonstrated. In the great love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul constantly says, and by the way, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church. He's not writing to a couple who's getting married, right? This 1 Corinthians 13 is written to the church in Corinth on how Christians should treat one another. All right, so that's just an aside. That's extra. You don't have to pay extra for that. All right. Paul said, love is, now listen, he said, love is patient, love is kind. In other words, love does. You show patience, you show kindness. And then he goes on to say that love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. Oh boy. Or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Now, wait a minute. We often go right over that, don't we? But think about that. How often Now, be honest with yourself. How often do we have small victories inside of ourselves when others are defeated? How often do we have small celebrations within ourselves when we believe others got their just deserve, right? So it does not rejoice. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It's a doer. It's doing, right? It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. We all know what the last three words are, right? Love never ends. You see, love is proactive. Love is tangible. It's practical. It is personal. A simple, healthy touch can convey an incredible sense of love, of affirmation, of acceptance. A study conducted at UCLA several years ago found that to maintain physical and emotional health, men and women need 8 to 10 meaningful touches each day. I'll just let you let that sink in just a little bit. 8 to 10 meaningful touches each day. That's to be physically and emotionally healthy. These researchers defined a meaningful touch as a gentle tap, a kiss, or a hug given by a significant other, like a husband, wife, parent, or friend. Of course, I'm speaking of showing affection in a healthy way, right? We hear so much about the many unhealthy ways that people touch one another. I'm speaking today in this moment of healthy ways of touching one another. But the point is, there is a place and a real need for tangible expressions of love. Folks, great coaches high-five their players, right? Great husbands hug their wives, and great wives hug their husbands. Great bosses give employees encouraging pats on the back. Great Christians show healthy affection through hugging each other, through smiling at each other, and laughing with each other. You see, love sets off a divine chain reaction. I heard a pastor say this, and I happened to write it down. I really like it. God is the one who creates the miracle of love. Love is the spark that kindles the fire of compassion. Compassion is the fire that lights the candle of service. Service is the candle that ignites the torch of hope. Hope is the torch that lights the beacon of faith. And faith is the beacon that reflects the power of God. Many of us forget that Jesus said that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, right? On the surface, some might see this as a mandate for self-love. But when we consider his words in context, we see that the principle that Jesus gave us is both radically new and refreshing. Essentially, Jesus has declared that when we love God the way we ought to love God, we will love others the way we ought to love others. And when we love God and others the way we should, we will love ourselves in a proper and healthy way. God's love gives us a healthy mental picture of ourselves. It enhances our self-esteem without getting into feelings of selfishness and self-worship, right? God is love, and God loves us more than we can imagine. Therefore, we ought to love others and love ourselves. I swear I've said love in this sermon more than I think I ever have in 20 years. You love it? Okay. God's love is unconditional and selfless. Now listen to this. I couldn't believe it when I read this. Evangeline Booth, the daughter of the founder of the Salvation Army, sat in a squalid slum one day cleaning the sores of a drunk woman. I just let you get your mind around that for a moment. A friend that was with her said, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million." And Ms. Booth replied, "Neither would I." As Christians, we should all continue to allow God to enable us to become better at loving. Amen. Let's tell every member of our families that we love them and give them several healthy, loving touches and pats, hugs and kisses every day. If you're a boss, manager, or employer, tell your employees that you love them and appreciate them for the work that they do. If you are an employee, do the same for your employers. If you have been at odds with someone, go to that person and affirm your love for them, regardless of your differences. Folks, allowing God's love to flow through us to others involves risk, right? You have to make yourself vulnerable to someone else to love them, don't you? Allowing God's love to flow through us to others involves risk. It involves pain. It involves heartache. But it will bring a tidal wave of joy that washes the tough times away. As is often the case, I love the way the Message states our scripture for today. It says this, "Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important?" Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them." Folks, these are the pegs of life that we should hang our life upon. Loving God and loving each other. And after that, everything else falls into place. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for your message today. We celebrate your presence here. And of course, God, we celebrate the veterans here and all over this world who have fought for our freedoms. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.